You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
The markets have been open today. They've returned back from the Easter holiday, and in keeping with our show, we're going to get a sense of how the markets have been performing throughout the day. And because it's a new month, why not have a new market analyst join the team? A market watcher today is portfolio manager at Anchor Capital, Reko Nare. Good evening, Reko. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by wrapping up, I suppose, Q1, January, February, March, first 3 months of the year. Anything stand out for you there? Anything live up to expectations? I mean, there was a lot of commentary coming into Q1 around things like interest rates and all sorts of things, and it seems none of that has gone according to plan.
Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for having me. It's really great to be on the show. Hello to your listeners. I think looking back at the first quarter of 2024, I think it's fair to say it's been a tale of two cities. You know, on one side, you've got offshore markets steaming ahead. That's even after a very strong 2023, continuing that rally into 2024. And then on the other side, you've got our market, the local market, just struggling to really get out of the starting block since the beginning of the year and just continue to underperform. I think just zooming into U.S. markets, you know, as you alluded to right at the beginning, you know, for the first quarter of 2024, we had the S&P up 10% in US dollar terms. So very strong. I think what's very interesting to note for us was the NASDAQ, which is the tech component of the S&P, that was only up 8.5%. So if you compare that 8.5% versus the S&P as 10.16%, it's been interesting to look back on the previous quarters because a lot of the outperformance that we've seen has come from the NASDAQ and the tech complex of offshore markets. We saw that kind of fall apart a little bit in the first quarter of 2024. So the NASDAQ, not as strong a performer as the S&P, in other words, as the broader market. I think for us, that doesn't say that, you know, the AI theme is out the window. I think you can't deny the fact that the AI theme continues to dominate and drive gains across the U.S. market, bar the exception of the likes of Apple that was down 11% in the first quarter of 2024 and Tesla that was down 29%. It is a discerning tech rally. That's what we can say. But it's been interesting for us to see the broader market begin to come to the field. You know, you've got the cyclical sectors, the likes of energy, financials and industrials, all outperforming the S&P in the first quarter of 2024.
Now, Reko, I know you said that the NASDAQ did underperform when compared to the S&P, but I'd be interested to see what the performance of the S&P was if we strip out the effect of companies like Nvidia. We saw so much that the Magnificent Seven has been playing such a big role in these markets internationally, and obviously that's been giving markets a lot of tailwind and giving a lot of strength to markets like the US market. But let's look at the South African market for a second. While other markets have been doing this well, how's the Aussie been performing?
Yeah, so I think, as I said right at the beginning, Jimmy, I think it's been a tale of two cities. You know, the All Share Index is down 3% in rand terms and down 6.5% in US dollar terms for the first quarter of 2024. I think if you look at our index and if you look at our market, you know, the green shoots, in other words, the positive to talk about has been the gold miners. You know, you've got the gold price up 8% since the beginning of the year, and that's been beneficial to our gold miners. You know, as a whole, the gold miners are up 13% in US dollar terms, the likes of Harmony Gold up 27% in rand terms, as far as the share price is concerned, and Anglo Gold Ashanti up 21% in rand terms. So there continues to be an appeal of gold as a safe haven assets, and that's been supported by central banks to buy gold. I think central banks hold about 10% of the gold in the world currently. And then you've got other outperformers, mainly the Rand hedges, the likes of Richemont, which is up 13% in Rand terms, British American Tobacco up 6%, and of course, Naspers and Process, the behemoth, up 11%. If you kind of think about the fact that that's an 11% with a 3% tailwind coming from the currency, that's been positive. And the other While I guess the only positive SA Inc. story has been Mr. Price up 12% in rand terms for the quarter. So that's the positive part of our market. I think the negative part and the underperforming category has definitely been the PGM miners, still under pressure. Despite that recent bounce that we saw in March, I think the big factors playing here is been the PGM basket and a collapse in the PGM price basket. And then you've also got an increase in unit cash costs. I think if you take Amplats, that's down 17% since the beginning of the year. Northam, that's down 15% since the beginning of the year. And I just maybe guess zooming into Northam, you know, they reported an earnings decline, just citing a 29% drop in the ZAR PGM basket price, along with an 11% increase in unit cash costs.
And I think I remember you and I spoke about this in a separate conversation, saying that it's very easy for PGM counters to reverse this kind of momentum if they start to see demand. And to that, I mean, I suppose that's where the question then comes in now, is Q2. What are the expectations for Q2? Are we expecting to see Chinese demand return to the fold? Are we expecting any real movement ahead of, obviously, elections around the world and all of those other factors? But at the same time, the inflation picture isn't out of the way. So markets might still want to cross that bridge and start to confirm that interest rates will come down, and then we start to tackle the demand side.
Yeah, Jimmy, I agree with you. I mean, if you look at just, you know, zooming into Naspers and Prosus, a big part of that positive performance that we saw in Q1 was driven by just a better picture out of China. And we do know that about 40% of our local market is just driven by Chinese demand, specifically the resource counters. So as you said, you know, a better picture out of China, a better picture out of China's property market, really does bode well for the South African economy as a whole, and really the South African stock exchange as a whole. But yeah, with that said, I think, you know, risks do abate. You mentioned one of them, which is elections. But, you know, there's different views going on at the moment. I think the one, you know, I guess left or right field view, depending on how you view it, is one that says, you know, the elections will be almost a non-event. Then that makes South African stocks look very attractive from a valuation perspective, as we discussed.
Absolutely. That's the one thing I've noted as well, is that SA Inc. at the moment has been heavily discounted, especially if we look at the PGM counters and our commodities, well, with the exception of gold, of course. And I wonder when, at what point, Reko, does the market then start to say, developed markets are risky, South Africa has managed its inflation well, because let's be honest, the central bank has done that well, and SA markets have been oversold. When does that happen?
I definitely agree with you there, Jimmy. I think, you know, like you said, you've got a very expensive offshore market. I think the big event that offshore investors looking at our market will continue to look to as almost like a green light to come back to the bargaining table as far as South African equities are concerned. I think it's definitely the elections. You know, I think investors will continue to wait to May to give a picture of really a certainty around the South African market as a whole.
And hopefully by May, we have a resolution around load shedding and a resolution around grey listing, because we are aiming to come off that by 2025, January. Is that still a realistic target, Reko?
Oh, look, Jimmy, I think it's a target that I guess a lot of South African investors as a whole, and I guess the South African economy, it's almost like show me the numbers, right? It's a case of just waiting to see what actually comes out. You know, promises have been made. And I guess from a South African walking on the streets, you know, we'll continue to look towards a better load shedding schedule. We've seen how much of an impact that has had, especially within our currency, how much of a better a story it tells for our currency. So I think for investors, they'll continue to just say, look, until we actually start seeing better load shedding schedules, they'll kind of wait and see, and not be taken away by promises and hearsay.
Promises, promises, promises. Let's hope something comes of these promises. We'll leave it at that, Reko. Thanks for those insights. That's Reko Nare, portfolio manager at Anchor Capital, joining me to reflect on some of the market movements over the first quarter of the year, as well as some expectations as we head into April.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.